Welcome to Your Daily Bread with co-hosts Abby Stacier
and Hannah Calhoun.
We're here to be your weekly source of spiritual nourishment, guiding you to find food freedom in a deeper connection with Christ.
As we explore the intersection of faith and nutrition, these bite-sized episodes will help you heal your relationship with food and your body through practical advice, biblical wisdom, and heartfelt encouragement.
And as a disclaimer, we are not pastors, but passionate registered dietitians and sisters in Christ, offering our insights to support you on this faith-filled journey to a healthier, more fulfilling life.
Join us by taking a seat at our table as we break bread and allow God in to break the chains of diet culture. Hello.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter week. So this week, Abby and I had two totally different angles that we wanted to go with this episode. So what came to my mind was John 11, 25 and 26. And that says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So my mind automatically went to Christ conquered death on the cross. He died for our sins. He rose again. And he is saying that, like, we will die. Our flesh, our physical body will die. And it's so important to accept the sacrifice that he did for us, because eternity is real. And when we believe in him and accept his sacrifice, we will live forever. Like, our soul, you know, will live with him. And I just, my mind goes to, you know, fitness culture and everything where we really are trying to evade death and disease. And, you know, we know that disease and death are in the world because sin is in the world, which is why Christ had to come and die and be raised from the dead so that we wouldn't have to die and descend to hell for our sins. But it's, you know, Christ is reminding us here that we will die. And so what does this mean for us? We fear death so much, and we really got to take that up to God and remind ourselves, like, our flesh, like, our physical body will die no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try. And that's why it's so important to, you know, try our best, of course, to steward our bodies well, you know, the temple of the Holy Spirit, but to remind ourselves that we need to have an eternity mindset and to really focus more on spiritual nourishment as opposed to being, you know, just totally anxious about the physical nourishment and doing it, quote unquote, right. We need to focus truly on spiritual nourishment.
Yeah. And this reminds me, my mom used to be a volunteer at hospice. And so these, you know, patients are at the end of their life, and oh my gosh. Like, I just remember one patient she told me about, he was just smiling. He was beaming. And she was sitting with him, just kind of, you know, hearing his story. And he said, I am so excited for my real life to get started. Mm-hmm. At the end of his life, he was so happy, so content, had like one of the most aggressive cancers. And physically, he was in pain. I mean, at that point in hospice, they're like, you know, hopping you up on morphine and stuff like that, making sure that you're comfortable, things like that. But he was just so content to meet God and meet Jesus and to be in heaven and like, wow, my real life is going to start. And like, that's amazing. And sometimes it doesn't feel real because we can't see it. We can't see heaven right now, but we have a living God and we do have that eternity to look forward to. And like, the rest of our lives is just beginning.
Yeah. And like, how often are we so caught up in our physical body and trying so hard to be our own God and to evade disease and death that consumes our time, all of our time, all of our mental energy, all of our mental space, mm-hmm. that we aren't focusing on nourishing our spirit and considering that eternity is real. Where are we going to spend it? Where are we going to spend it?
mm-hmm. And when we have more of that kingdom mindset here on earth, it changes our perspective. We don't worry about things. We are more giving, and I think are just like more focused and not bogged down by things of the world when we're thinking like, this is just a very short stop before I get to the rest of my life.
Right. When we have that kingdom mindset, it encourages us to live a life that is pleasing to God instead of being so riddled with anxiety about, you know, our bodies, you know, eating the quote unquote right thing and the toxins and the this and the whatever and the detoxes. And like, it's a lot. There's a lot of anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're seeing 10-year-olds at Sephora, you know, racing to get all these drunk elephant products and retinol creams, and because they're so afraid to age.
Yeah.
And maybe part of it too, I'm thinking now, is like, maybe they just like want to be an adult so bad, but I'm like, I don't know this. I think it, I mean, especially retinol cream. Like, yeah, come really? On. That's like, it's like a very strong anti-aging product. Like, I think it's really been passed down through these generations that we are so afraid to age. I mean, plastic surgery is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
There's just such a strong focus on external vanity. And Ecclesiastes talks about this. Vanity is meaningless. It's like a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this life truly is a vapor, and everything is pretty much meaningless in this life.
It's all meaningless. And even Proverbs 31:30 that says, you know, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Does this mean that we can walk around in potato sacks and garbage bags all day instead of trying to dress up and stuff like that? You know, no. You know, and are we saying like, you know, we're all going to die, or you're probably going to get a disease whether you like it or not. And, you know, you might as well just give up on your health and stop going to the doctor. No, like, you want to steward your body well.
Yeah.
And you want to care for your temple, and you want to make sure that you're strong. So at the end of your life, you know, you have like strength to pick up your grandkids or go for a walk in the park. You know what I mean? Like, you want to take care of your body. Yes. But like, it's about the anxiety, like getting rid of that anxiety about trying to control every aspect of your life, your health and your body, giving that to God, and, you know, doing your best, giving the rest to God and focusing on eternity.
Yes. And I think it's all a heart posture thing, you know, because if you were getting plastic surgery, or if you were getting a certain product, or, you know, exercising in a certain way, like, it's not that those things are bad, but it's a heart posture thing. And are you bringing God into that? Like, are you just doing things on your own, or did you pray on that? And that's something that you and God have decided, okay, this is going to be the next best step for me to steward my body well.
Right. And everyone has different convictions about different things, you know, but it's really, yeah, like you're saying, Abby, like, it's a heart posture thing. And it's like, is your intention coupled with anxiety? Is your intention coupled with control? Because if that's the case, then you got to talk that over with the Lord, my friend.
Yes, you need to lay down your life, pick up your cross and follow him. You know what I mean? Like, we're really called to like die to ourselves. And I feel like the verse that you read reminded me of that other verse that says, like, if you try and like keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, like, you'll be able to keep it. Like, you will live. So yes, there is death, but there is life with Christ. And that's because of Holy Week and what happened at the cross. Super powerful. So what I was thinking of for this week, so Hannah and I went like two completely different directions, but I feel like this is really good because there's so many, oh my gosh, there's so much that we could really cling to and glean from this week. And I don't think, since this week is truly the cornerstone of our faith, we will never be done having revelations about it and a deeper connection with Jesus on the cross, crucifixion, and the resurrection on Last Supper. Oh my gosh, there's so much that we could talk about. But what came to me and what God's really been speaking to me is about how the crucifixion is the truest display of love, and that love is sacrifice. So then I was brought to 1 John 4:10 and 11, where it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another."
Mm.
So good. So this comes back to the great command, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so that just got me thinking, wow, if we don't love, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we don't love ourselves, we're not really loving our neighbor well.
Mm.
And how often are we putting ourselves on the back burner, not doing things for our health, not taking care of ourselves because we are trying to serve one another in our lives and take care of other people and just putting so many other people before ourselves. And it's like, wow, if we really care about loving other people well and serving other people well and showing up for our roles and responsibilities well, we will take care of ourselves and love ourselves well. But then a lot of people are like, well, I understand how to love people, but when I put self in front of love, I don't know what self-love is. It seems a little taboo. Mm. So the way that we learn to love ourselves is through receiving God's love and receiving Jesus's forgiveness. When you receive that, like you start to understand what real love is, and you feel filled up, you feel loved because it's unconditional. Even with all of our sin, all of our baggage, and with every time we stumble, like God still delights in us. So it's from that place of being filled on God's love and knowing that you know that you are his beloved and that you are precious and honored in his sight. From that place, you are able to pour out and show God's love into the world and love your neighbor well. That's what this made me think of.
Yeah, and it goes back to like that, the whole cup idea, right? Like pouring from an empty cup. And, you know, I think a lot of women in particular struggle with people pleasing. And we're all stretched so thin, you know, whether you're just serving in the church in a million different capacities, plus your full-time job, maybe your church is your full-time job, maybe you're also a wife, a mother, a friend, a sister, taking care of aging parents, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Women are stretched in a bunch of different directions, and we can get caught up in others, others, others. And then when it comes time for ourselves, we're like we've talked about, skipping meals, you know, not resting well, not having a Sabbath, you know, not even engaging in any type of exercise or self-care. Like we're just pouring, 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 and our cup is like empty.
And what are we filling it with? Like so often I hear from the clients and patients that I work with, like, oh yeah, in my breaks, like when I finally get a chance to myself, I'm just scrolling on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that's kind of that like bedtime revenge syndrome. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I haven't done anything for myself all day, so I'm just going to do something for myself. But that's not really restful. Or you're packing your schedule and overcommitting to so many things. So your cup, like you feel empty and because you're burnt out, but you're filled up with so much of the wrong stuff. So I think part of it is to kind of heal from this is that we need to empty our cups and we need to make room for God's love to come in. You need to make room to be able to receive. Because if you're running around so much and you're not being still, you're not going to know God and know that he is God.
Yeah. And like just remembering like Christ emptied himself. He emptied himself so we can be filled with his spirit, with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That just really hit me. And that is love. Isn't that crazy?
That is love.
Wow.
So Christ did it. We don't have to. We can be filled with his spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Your Daily Bread. We hope you found inspiration and practical guidance to nourish your body and soul. Remember, the journey to a healthier relationship with food and a deeper connection with Christ is ongoing, and we're here to support you every step of the way.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you've been blessed by our content, please consider sending this episode to a few friends that need to hear this message. And we also invite you to leave us a review. Your feedback and support mean the world to us and really help the show grow.
As we conclude today's episode, we encourage you to take what resonated with you into your quiet time with God. Allow God to reveal to you any changes that you can make for His glory, trusting that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image.
Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore how God's word helps us heal our relationship with food and our bodies. Until then, may you find both physical and spiritual nourishment, and may you be filled with His peace and joy. God bless.